Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every week at this same time. Last week, we were talking about obedience. Now, here's the main point I want to get across. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus to be saved. You got to follow his teachings. Obedience is not just a good thing. It's more than that. It's necessary to salvation. Meaning, if you believe in Christ, but you don't obey him, you will not be saved. We went through a number of passages last week that prove that. I would like you to consider next Luke 6:46. Jesus said there, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, Lord doesn't necessarily mean God. It means boss. Our ultimate boss is God. Just like it would be lip service to call somebody boss at work and not do what he says, it's just lip service to call Jesus Lord and not do what he says. Because when you call him Lord, that's supposed to mean he's the boss. You're going to do what he says. If you're not doing what he says, again, that's just lip service. So we not only need to call Jesus Lord, we need to make him Lord of our life. If you don't, you're not going to be saved. We read that from passages last week, like Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, talking about Jesus. It says he became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The only way to receive eternal salvation from the source, Jesus Christ, is if you obey him. If you don't obey him, you won't receive it. As we pointed out last week, some will say, well, if you have to obey Christ, that means you're saving yourself. No, this verse says you got to obey Christ, Hebrews 5, 9. In order to receive eternal salvation, but in the same verse it says Jesus is the source. So it doesn't make you the source, the fact you have to obey Jesus. Jesus is still the source. His death, his blood is the earning basis or the grounds of our salvation. Not our works, not even our faith. Neither your faith nor your works is the thing that does the trick. The thing that you're actually saved by is the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. But faith and obedience are both necessary conditions you have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. Just like a person who doesn't believe in Christ won't be saved by the death of Christ. A person who does not obey Christ won't be saved by the death of Christ either. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's from the ESV version. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, which implies that if you aren't keeping his commandments, you don't love Jesus. You don't love him like you ought to. My wife, Carol, I can show her I love her by kissing her. Okay? You can't show Jesus you love him by kissing him. He's not here to kiss. The way you show Jesus that you love him is by keeping his commandments. John 14:15. If you don't keep his commandments, then you're showing him that you do not love him. You can talk about loving Jesus all day long, but if you're not living in obedience to his law, the law of Christ, the New Testament law, both doctrinally and morally, then you don't really love him. You're not going to be saved. Jesus said in John 15:14, I think of this as a sister passage to John 14:15. Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." A lot of people talk about having to have a relationship with Christ. But what they mean by that is something touchy-feely, which is actually impossible since Jesus is not here on the earth, to have a touchy-feely relationship with him. This verse teaches to have a relationship with Christ, to be his friend, you have to do what he commands. The way you have a relationship with Christ is by doing what he commands. He says again, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Implying that if you don't do what he commands, you are not a friend of Jesus. You have no relationship with Jesus. You can't just say, "I'm a Christian," and live any old way you want to. Again, not only do you have to believe in Jesus to be saved, you have to follow his teachings. How about Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, which reads this way, "Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now, this is a good passage to talk about when you're talking about how we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. The Old Testament law required circumcision. Now, this verse is saying, whether you're circumcised or not makes no difference. It doesn't avail anything. It doesn't help you. You could be circumcised. That's not going to help you spiritually to be saved. You can be uncircumcised. That's not going to help either. That doesn't matter anymore. That was an Old Testament law. But he says, here's what does avail now. Faith which worketh by love. Notice if you have faith without works, it won't avail. It won't avail. You got to have a faith that works. And guess what? Not only do you have to have a faith which works, obeys, you have to have a faith which worketh by love. It has to be motivated by love. Even a person who has a faith which works won't be saved if it's not motivated by love. All of these passages we've been over last week and this week teach that you have to obey God to be saved. The lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Now, we mentioned a while ago and have done many lessons on this in the past that when we want to know what to do today to please God, like what we have to do to be saved or how to worship God today or how to live our everyday life, the law for us is the New Testament law, Matthew through Revelation, called the law of Christ. The Old Testament law, called the law of Moses, that was just for the Jews and ended at the cross. Moses was their leader. It was, so they had to follow his law. Christ is our leader. We have to follow his law. But I still want to, in this, at this point in the lesson, look at some Old Testament passages that teach that the Israelites had to obey God to be saved. Now, they had to obey a different law, but still they had to obey God to be saved, even under the Old Testament law. First one, Ecclesiastes 12:13, a pretty famous verse. It says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Do you see how this goes further back even before having to obey to be saved? Because this duty to fear God and keep God's commandments was given to mankind even before Adam sinned the first time. So even before Adam and Eve ever sinned and needed salvation, even before they needed salvation, their duty was to fear God and keep his commandments. So it goes back further than obeying to be saved. Obedience goes back even further than that. It was necessary, the duty of man, to obey God even before he needed to be saved. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned that first time, we've all needed to be saved. But again, man was created, in effect, to fear God and keep his commandments. That's our duty. Even if we never sinned, that would be our duty. Now, all of us do sin and we need salvation, but even if we never sin, our duty would be to serve God, keep his commandments, and by the way, that's what sin is when you don't fear God and keep his commandments. How about Daniel 9:4? It says, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Now, I want to talk a little bit about this word dreadful. I think of my dad. I kind of was scared of my dad. I dreaded my dad when I wasn't obeying him. Say, for example, when I'm growing up, I know I've disobeyed my dad and I'm scared he's going to find out. Because if he finds out, I'm going to get a spanking, a hard spanking with a belt. It hurt. I didn't like that. I was scared of him. But guess what? My dad never spanked me because he had a bad day at the office or anything like that. So as long as I was obeying my dad, I didn't have to be scared of him. It's only when I was disobeying my dad that I had to be scared of him. Same way with God. He's dreadful. You need to be scared of him if you're not obeying him. As a matter of fact, you need to be scared out of your britches if you're not obeying him. Because look where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in the bad place. H-E-L-L. Forever burning in fire with the devil if you don't obey him. You need to be scared of God if you're not living in obedience to him. If you are living in obedience to him, you don't have to be scared per se. You just have a healthy respect for him. Now notice also the verse says that God keeps covenant mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. That implies that if we don't love God and don't keep his commandments, he will not keep covenant mercy to you if you don't love him and keep his commandments. Now, he's always going to keep his end of the bargain. But part of the bargain is you have to keep your end of the bargain or he will not keep covenant and mercy with you. The only people he's going to keep covenant mercy with are those that keep his commandments. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. To me, this is probably the most basic difference between the truth and what most churches teach. Most churches teach you don't really have to obey God to be saved. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's all you have to do to be saved. Well, what they mean by that is all you got to do is believe in Christ. You don't have to really obey Him. The most basic difference between the actual truth of God's Word and what most churches teach is that the Bible teaches you have to obey God to be saved. We see it here in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 in the Old Testament. It says, "And if thou wilt walk before me in integrity of heart, and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and judgments." Now, what's the difference between that and the last verse I read? Did you notice that the word all is here? God expects us to do all that He has commanded. People will say, well, that's impossible. So God surely couldn't expect that since it's impossible to live perfectly. Well, let's try that out on a illustration with parents. If you're a parent, do you have some rules for your kids that you want them to obey? Let's say you had, just for the sake of argument, 25 rules for your kids. Do you tell them, well, you got 25 rules, but just pick out, you know, 20, 22, 23 of them to obey. And if you get that many, that's enough. It's okay to not to obey two or three of them. That's not what you do, is it? You give them 25 rules, you expect them to obey all 25 rules. Now, do kids ever keep all 25 rules perfectly? No. But that doesn't mean the parents don't expect that out of them. It's the same way with God. He expects us, according to this passage we just read, to do all that He has commanded, every bit of it. Of course He's going to require us to keep all of it, to expect us to keep all of it. He's not going to say, I've got 25 rules for you, and just keep 20 or 22 or 23 of them, and that'll be good enough. Pick two or three of them. You don't have to obey those. You know, as long as you're not killing anybody or raping anybody, I guess it'd be okay for you to go out and commit adultery with your wife every now and then, because you don't have to keep all 25 of them. I mean, after all, that's impossible to keep them all. He says, keep them all, every one of them. And guess what? If that's your goal, then you're going to be disappointed when you don't keep them all, whenever you fail, and you're going to repent. If the goal was only, I'm going to keep 5 out of 10 right, then when you keep 5 out of 10 and disobey 5, you'll have met your goal. You won't be disappointed. You'll never repent of those. But if your goal is to keep all of God's commandments, just like He expects, just like He requires, then when you fail, you'll be disappointed in yourself. Of course, God will be disappointed, and you'll repent. And you know, Noah was successful at doing this to an extent, in a sense. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now, we're not talking about Noah at the end of his life, as if he lived his whole life perfectly without one sin. That's not what we're saying. But all the instructions that God gave Noah about building the ark, what to build it out of, all the dimensions, how to handle all the details with building the ark and all the animals bringing them in. All of those instructions, probably dozens of them, Genesis 6:22 says Noah did all of them, every one of them. So if Noah can be successful in obeying all that God commands him, then we can too. That's what God wants us to do. Do all that He commands, and when we fail, when we sin, repent and get forgiveness. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call, 877-655-6755. You can call on this important point. This important point being, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus to be saved. You have to follow His teachings. You have to obey Him. You can call on that or any other Bible topic. The lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Let me read Psalms 106, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are they that doeth righteousness at all times." So we've already read that we're supposed to keep all of God's commandments. This says we're supposed to do righteousness at all times. You can't take any vacations away from living in obedience to God. You can't say, and I'm using an extreme here to make a point. You can't say, well, I've lived perfectly Sunday through Friday. I've done everything right. And so since it's impossible for me to live perfectly, then I guess God will be okay with me on Saturday to go out and commit adultery against my wife. How would that fly with God? How would that fly with your wife? It wouldn't, would it? Because the Bible says here in Psalm 106, blessed are they that doeth righteousness at all times. It's 24/7. No vacations from doing what's right. We got to do all he commands all the time. Now, Deuteronomy 5:29 puts both of those ideas into one verse. It says, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Notice, it, both ideas are in this verse. God expects us, requires us to keep all his commandments always. We can't leave off any of them. We got to do all of them. Always means all the time till the end of our life. Keep all of God's commandments all the time, 24/7, till the day we die. That's what God expects of us. That's what God requires of us. He says at the beginning of this verse, oh, there was such a heart, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. So it takes the right kind of heart. If you're not keeping all of God's commandments always, then you don't have the right kind of heart. You need to work on your heart. I mean, Ezra 7:10 prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord to do it. We need to be preparing our heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. When we have that heart prepared right, then we'll be successful at keeping God's commandments. Lee from Maryland, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, yes, I was calling in regards to what your topic. I like I was telling your camera, sir, I just found your station by accident, but I'm glad I did. My question is, the seventh day is the Sabbath, which is we know as Saturday, and I know that it was changed from by Constantine in 321 AD, but the Bible doesn't acknowledge that change. The Bible says to remember, which is the fourth commandment is the only one that says to remember, because God knew what Lucifer was going to do and what he did, which was to change that day from the first day, from the seventh day to the first day. Which...
And so it is not true that Constantine changed anything. Now here's Colossians 2. Lee, call back. I didn't mean to drop you there. Call me back. Colossians 2:14 says this, talking about Jesus, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So here's some ordinances that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. Now, whatever those ordinances are, it's clear that we don't have to obey them anymore because Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to the cross. Now, he lists some of those ordinances in verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. That's the daily observances of the Jews. Respect of a holy day. That's like a holiday. The yearly the observances of the Jews, like Passover and Pentecost. The new moon. That's the third thing in verse 16. That's once a month. Or the Sabbath days. That's once a week. So the weekly Sabbath is listed specifically as one of the ordinances that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. It's no longer binding. It's just like animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices were a requirement in the Old Testament law. No longer binding, according to passages like John 1:29. The prohibition against eating pork and catfish, that was an Old Testament law. No longer binding, according to passages like 1 Timothy 4:1 and following. How about the circumcision, that was an Old Testament requirement. We read that earlier in the study. Galatians 5:6 says this, no longer binding. We don't have to keep that anymore. The Sabbath is just like all these other Old Testament laws. It's no longer binding. It's strictly an Old Testament law. It's specifically mentioned in Colossians 2:14 through 17. It's one of the ordinances that was blotted out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross, so we don't have to keep it anymore. Go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry I cut you off a while ago.
Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, I didn't hear. I heard heard most of it out here, the whole thing, your response. But I heard you were saying that you believe it was nailed to the cross, that the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. I know the ordinances that were nailed to the cross were the sacrifices.
But Lee, this passage that says they were nailed to the cross says the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. Specifically says the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14-17. It doesn't say the sacrifices. It says the Sabbath law was nailed to the cross. You look that up. I mean, it's in the Bible. Either we love God enough to accept the Bible, or we're going to love some man-made doctrine that we still have to keep the Sabbath. You have to decide, Lee, which one you love the most. The man-made doctrine that we have to keep the Sabbath today. If you love God more than that, then you'll believe Colossians 2:14-17 that says the Sabbath, verse 17, is one of the ordinances that was nailed to the cross, blotted out by Jesus, taken out of the way, according to the New King James Version of verse 14. It was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. You can't get any more clear than that, Lee. If you tried to imagine, think about it this way, Lee. If you were trying to think of a way that God could say the Sabbath's no longer binding, can you think of a way that God could say it any clearer than this, Lee? I challenge you. Go ahead. Can you think of a way that God could have said it any clearer than what Colossians 2:14-17 says if God was trying to say the Sabbath is no longer binding? Can you think of a way he could have said it clearly?
Well, I'm actually driving right now, so I can't even pull up any scripture for you. But
okay. I'm sorry about that, Lee.
But,
I didn't know that.
No, it's no problem. But so basically, if you're the way that you're reading it, you're saying that we don't have to keep the Sabbath, and that's what you're saying.
Well, that's what the verse says. You don't have to keep it. He said he blotted it out. He took the Sabbath, and he blotted it out, took it out of the way, and nailed it to his cross. That's what it says.
So,
I didn't write that. God did.
No, I get that, but the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So
right.
But so if the Bible doesn't contradict itself, how is it that we only 9 commandments are going to be kept, but one of them is blotted out? And The one commandment that's blotted out, you have to remember, you have to go back to when Lucifer
okay,
was
in heaven. Okay, let me respond to that because,
okay.
Well, let me respond, okay? Hold on. The reason that 9 of the 10 commandments, only 9 of the 10 are binding today is because the New Testament only repeats 9. It doesn't repeat the Sabbath. And it specifically says the Sabbath is no longer binding. But actually, there's about, somebody's counted 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And there may be at least 100 of them that aren't in the New Testament. It's not just the Sabbath. There's probably at least 100 commandments in the Old Testament that are no longer binding. Because there's not just 10, there's 613 of them. So the command to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy was in Exodus 20. That was written to the Israelites. Deuteronomy 5 basically says he gave them the Sabbath because he brought them out of the land of Egypt. So you know right there, Lee, it doesn't apply to the Gentiles. He never brought us out of Egyptian bondage, but Deuteronomy 5 said he told them to keep the Sabbath because he brought them out of Egyptian slavery. So it's never has applied to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were never required to keep the Sabbath. And so there's the 9 of the 10 commandments are still binding today. For example, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, because the New Testament says don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. The law of Christ. But the New Testament doesn't say keep the Sabbath. It doesn't say the stuff like the Levirate marriage law and the circumcision and the prohibition against pork and catfish and the requirement to do animal sacrifice. It doesn't have that, so we don't have to keep it. It specifically says the Sabbath law has been done away. Now, we're talking about how obedience is required. Luke 1:5-6, Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So they were successful at keeping all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. If they can do it, we can do it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Do you see the idea of trust and obey? It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The last thing that Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, after having a conversation with her, John 8, verse 11, he said, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus would tell every one of us if he were to talk to us. Go and sin no more. Can we go to heaven if we aren't living in obedience to God? living in obedience to God? No, we cannot. We have to obey the law of Christ, the New Testament law. If you want a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience over the phone, call or text me at 256-682-9753. 256-682-9753. Free 1 hour phone Bible study. Thank you for listening tonight. Let me mention to you that if you'll go to BibleCrossfire.com, you can go and see by all my old programs, all the way since I've been doing this Bible Crossfire program since July 2015, all the programs are there. You can ask me a question over email, or you can ask for a Bible correspondence course.